When I say cruise ships, what do you think of? Tropical waters and midnight buffets, or broken down ships and the norovirus? I wouldn't blame you if you thought of the latter, given how much attention those things get in the news. But in fact, the cruise industry is quite healthy. More than 22 million passengers will take a cruise this year, mostly Americans. And looking for growth, cruise lines are expanding to Asia. Royal Caribbean, the second largest cruise company after Carnival, just debuted a ship in China. And joining us from Miami as part of our series of conversations with leaders called View from the Top is Adam Goldstein, the president and chief operating officer of Royal Caribbean. And Adam Goldstein, let's talk about China. Is that the future of your industry?
Well, the Chinese cruise market is definitely the fastest growing cruise market, and it's well on its way to being the second largest cruise market for our company. But I think it's important to keep in perspective in the big numbers. The United States produces about 12 million cruisers per year, and in China last year there were 700,000. So the United States market is growing, but at a low percentage per year. There's still definitely a lot of people, millions of people in the United States who have not yet cruised, who have the wherewithal to cruise, and who would love it if they did. But the growth rate from a low base in a place like China is double digits continuously, and it will, over the long haul, potentially catch up.
And what's the difference between a cruise ship catering to Chinese customers and one catering to Americans?
First of all, if you're a Chinese customer, chances are you're going to need some level of Mandarin language support. So we develop a lot of our crew who can speak both Mandarin and English to provide services to our Chinese guests. So that's important. From a culinary standpoint, we want our Chinese guests to try different Western cuisine. And in general, they're inclined to do so, but they need to know that their comfort foods, the foods they eat every day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, are available to them if they want them. So we have to make that available. Then there are certain activities that the Chinese favor more. You may know right now the Chinese, at least in my opinion, are the undisputed world champions of shopping. They shop in just inconceivable numbers and dollar amounts. And so both shopping on board and in the ports of call is a huge focus for them. Gaming is a relatively large focus for the Chinese audience. Conversely, they tend to spend less time in the spa and around the pool deck than we might see from our more traditional customers.
And who are your competitors there? Are there big Asian brands that you have to go up against, or are you going up against other brands that you're used to competing with here in the U.S. that just it's a race to get to China?
At this very moment, meaning for the spring, summer, and fall season of 2015, it is some of the traditional players who've established themselves in the cruise industry over the last 30 or 40 years. So for our company, it's the Royal Caribbean International brand that will have four different cruise ships leaving from four different cities on the Chinese coast during the course of the season. And our principal competition is two of the different brands of Carnival Corp. One is Princess Cruises, and the other one is Costa Cruises. Amongst the three brands, Royal Princess Costa, that's the great bulk of industry capacity in China today. However, the Chinese clearly want to be more directly involved in operating cruise ships in the region. And in fact, on May 15th, a joint venture that we are participating in with Ctrip, which some people refer to as the Chinese version of Expedia, will go into operation with a new cruise line called SkySea, more tailored towards specifically the Chinese audience. And we'll see how that goes.
There are probably some people listening to this right now who are thinking, I have no interest in cruises at all. And they have heard about some of these nightmare cruises, the attack on cruise passengers in Tunisia, the Costa Concordia, these cruise ships that end up with a lot of people getting sick because of something or another. What do you do to combat that reputation that the cruise industry has among some people?
Well, the first thing probably is not to put you in our advertising department. But no, seriously, the cruise industry actually has an incredibly safe track record. In fact, the safest of any mode of transportation. And even as the industry has been getting larger, the incidence of events have been going down. So we're very well placed in terms of the safety of cruising as a vacation choice versus others. We certainly do get a lot of publicity whenever an adverse event occurs. That's clear. And we have to do really hard work and continuous work in our industry to make sure that we provide the maximum in safety, security, environmental responsibility, medical services, and public health. And the whole point of what we do is to enable our customers to create the memories of a lifetime when they cruise with us, not just Royal Caribbean, but with the other cruise lines of the industry. You know, if I ask you to think about any particular year in the past, you wouldn't probably think about a meeting that you had at work, or maybe not even an interview that you did. You probably would ask yourself first, well, in that year, what vacations did I take as with my family, and was it great or not? And so we're in the business of making people happy. And when we have a cruise that makes people the opposite of that, it's really bad news for everybody, especially the people who are on the ship. So we don't want that to happen. We need to learn any lessons that can be learned and apply them so that the same types of problems don't go again in the future. And as I say, statistically, we have a really exemplary track record that says problems rarely ever happen and are getting less frequent all the time.
We're speaking with Adam Goldstein, the President and Chief Operating Officer of Royal Caribbean. And that is a job title, by the way, Adam Goldstein, that you've had just a few days past a year now. And it puts you in charge of human resources, IT, supply chain, about 60,000 employees. What is your day like right now?
Well, it's full. That's for sure. There's so many things constantly going on in our industry. We're rapidly emerging globally. We talked about China. That's probably the biggest global development, but there are continued developments in the rest of Asia, in Australia, in Latin America, still in Europe, that are going on to keep me busy. And you mentioned the 60,000 employees. You know, we're incredibly fortunate to find men and women who are prepared to work on the water and deliver great service. We cannot take that for granted. The recruiting function, the talent development, the training, and just the employee welfare that has to go on in order to keep our people coming back to the ships to work and be happy and deliver great service is a key undertaking of the company.
Well, and on the issue of employees and those 60,000 employees, we've seen over the last several months a lot of major companies deciding that now is the time to ramp up pay or ramp up benefits for their employees because it is a more competitive job market. Are you finding that that's the situation for you, that you're having to be a little more competitive to keep and hold on to employees that work for you?
I would say that at any given point in time, some areas of our employee mix, we face these types of upward pressures on wages or benefits because of often something that's going on elsewhere in the world. So, for example, for our marine personnel who as a profession have chosen to become licensed mariners working on ships at sea, we could be very much influenced by what's happening in the oil markets, where the price is going up or down, and that's affecting how much people are using oil tankers or doing offshore drilling or something, and whether the employment situation on drilling rigs is going up or down will influence how easy it is for us to attract people to work on our ships. Conversely, in the what we would call the hotel section of our ship, which is probably 85% of the positions would be hotel as opposed to marine positions, that is usually a function of competition within the vacation, travel, and leisure sector. So it's not everybody at one time. It could be musicians this year, and it could be doctors next year, and we just try to keep on top of it all.
What about the environment? You were given an A on sewage treatment from an environmental advocacy group in 2014, an annual report card on cruises, but they gave you an F on air pollution reduction. How do you make the industry more sustainable?
Well, I will say that I don't know exactly who was giving out these particular grades.
That was Friends of the Earth that gave
that
report
card. Well, I don't think we should take up too much time on the show with me giving you my opinion of Friends of the Earth. I will say this. We are incredibly proud of our environmental record. It's really, really interesting to have lived through the evolution of environmental sensitivities in these years. In the case of our company and several other cruise companies, we invested many, many hundreds of millions of dollars in pioneering technology that we call advanced wastewater purification that takes any waste stream on board the ship and turns it into essentially drinking quality water before it goes back into the ocean. And we and other companies are engaged in many, many, many hundreds of millions of dollars worth of investment program in developing what we now call AEP, Advanced Emissions Purification, or actually goes by the more popular term of scrubbers, the idea being that the sulfur is scrubbed out of the exhaust between the time it leaves the engine and the time it goes out of the stack at the top of the ship. And while this technology, scrubber technology, has existed on the land for eons, it's incredibly challenging to narrow it down to the size that is required on any kind of a ship and have it work. And it turns out that it's the cruise companies, for whatever reason, that are pioneering this work again. So we are actually on a really interesting and, I think, compelling trajectory to make a kind of progress in reducing sulfur emissions that nobody could have imagined possible even 5 years ago. And it's just another indication of the commitment that we have to the environment. So we're very proud of what we do. We often lead the world in different respects, as I've mentioned, and I'm sure we'll continue to do so.
That's Adam Goldstein, President and Chief Operating Officer of Royal Caribbean. Adam, thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. It was nice to be on. Thank you.
And you're listening to Here and Now.